I've entitled my Good Friday homily, Learning to Forgive. For we well know that forgiveness does not come naturally to us. It is something that we need to learn. It seems that what is more common is our tendency to harbor resentment, choosing not to forgive. Yes, this is what comes more naturally to us human beings. When the Spanish patriot Narvaez lay dying, his father confessor asked him whether he had forgiven all of his enemies, to which he responded, "Father, I have no enemies, I shot them all." There was a button in a tourist shop that had this on it: to err is human, to forgive is out of the question. Learning to forgive. It is so important, but so contrary to our fallen nature. Only those who are learning to forgive are able to also come to receive and to know the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. That is why in Matthew's Gospel, at the end of Jesus' giving us the Lord's Prayer, we have these recorded words: "For if you forgive people their trespasses, your Heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours." A catechist was finishing her lesson with children on the sacrament of reconciliation, and she wanted to make sure that she'd made her point, so she asked the question, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness?" And at the back of the room, a little girl raised up her hand and she said, "We have to sin." And that's true. That's what brings us all together. We have to sin. And that is what is so important for us to first of all identify, that all of us need reconciliation because all of us are sinners. But the more we come to appreciate the reality of forgiveness in our own lives, this limerick playfully expresses what happens to us. Forgiveness is a funny thing. It warms the heart and cools the sting. Forgiveness is a funny thing. It warms the heart and it cools the sting. There is nothing like forgiveness to bring about a change in our souls. And indeed, that's where the change has to happen, in our souls. This is made clear when we think a little bit more about our Lord's teaching in the Lord's Prayer. And I want to talk about the Lord's Prayer for the next few minutes because it helps us to understand how Jesus' teaching on forgiveness in that prayer is centered in the prayer as a whole. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus speaks about three dimensions of the Christian life: proper attachment, proper detachment, so that thirdly, we can be dispatched to serve the Lord. Attachment, detachment, so that we can be dispatched. What do I mean by this? In the Lord's Prayer, we learn that we are to be attached to God. And so we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The honoring of God is to be at the very heart of how we live each day. Indeed, Our Lady Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." St. Paul, the great apostle, said over 100 times, "I am the slave of Christ." To hallow the name of God, to live a life that is in keeping with this first part of the prayer, means that we are each day to grow in that kind of attachment, to be totally connected to the Lord. The Lord's Prayer also teaches us the appropriate kind of detachment. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." You see, to pray for our daily bread means that we are to learn to be detached from our tendency to be preoccupied with the acquisition of material things. And so we pray for our daily bread. We are called to learn to live a life of simplicity. But the other thing that Jesus focuses on in our prayer is that we are to be detached from resentment. We are to be detached from bitterness. We are to be detached from unforgiveness. For what happens in our lives when we attach ourselves to resentment? When we say, I will not forgive, we become consumed by hatred and our souls become embittered. And beloved, if our souls are embittered, how can we be rightly attached to God? If we have a bitter soul, if we have an unforgiving spirit, how can we hallow the name of God? We cannot. And so it is as we are learning day by day the way of mercy that we grow in experiencing evermore the merciful love of the Father. For you see, forgiveness is a coin. It has two sides. Those who experience the forgiveness of God are those who are learning the way to forgive. But why does Jesus then go on to pray this? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, in a world like this, we need to have a daily prayer to be delivered from our inordinate attachment to material things and our tendency to cultivate unforgiveness. Every day, we need to pray, deliver me from these things, Lord, so that I can, instead of having a resentful heart, be the kind of person who is cultivating a merciful heart. To be attached to God, to be detached from things and unforgiveness, allows us then to pray as we do at every Mass these words, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. For you see, God wants to use you and me for his kingdom purposes. But in order for that to happen, we have to have the right kind of attachment and the right kind of detachment so that we can be dispatched to be used in his service. Think about this in relation to Jesus. Everything about his life was in service of the kingdom of heaven so that the kingdom of heaven would come to earth. And it is Jesus' will for his disciples to carry on this work in the world. So with this image of the Lord's Prayer in mind, I want to conclude this homily by talking now for a couple of minutes about how we see this played out in Jesus' life, in the first three words that he speaks from the cross. The first word, Father, forgive them. This word is directed towards Jesus' enemies, towards those who are crucifying him. And he actually gives them the benefit of the doubt. Not only does he say, Father, forgive them, he then says, because they do not know what they are doing. And there is some degree to which, although much evil is very premeditated, even the person who is causing such evil does not at some level know the full extent perhaps of what he or she is doing. So Jesus' first word is directed towards his enemies. But what about the second word? When that thief on the cross says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, what does Jesus say? Today you will be with me in paradise. Now get this. This man, this thief on the cross, is the only person in the whole of the gospel who just addresses Jesus by his name without saying Jesus Christ or Lord Jesus. It's nowhere else found in the four gospels. Why is that? Because this man had actually early in the day been one of Jesus' enemies. We read in Mark's gospel that at 9 in the morning, both thieves on either side were reviling Jesus. But by now, one of them is still reviling Jesus, but the other one says, Jesus, and he doesn't mean it like a swear. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now get this. The first word is a word prayed in relation to Jesus' enemies, of which this man had been one. But now by saying Jesus' name, what does that tell us? That one who had been an enemy is now Jesus' friend. And what about the third word? Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. What about this word? Do you get the progression? Now we're not talking about friends, we are talking about family. And this is what we see on the cross. Jesus prays for his enemies because he wants his enemies to become his friends. And he wants his friends to become part of his family. That's why at the very heart of our faith is this understanding that on Good Friday, Jesus was reconciling the world to himself. So that through the excruciating pain of the crucifixion, he was taking into himself the sin of the world in such a way that when he prayed in the Lord's Prayer, forgive as you are forgiven, he wasn't just telling us that's something that we have to do. At the very heart of God, in the incarnation, he came to experience this. Now I know from my own life experience that to truly learn to forgive is something that is a supernatural work. We can't just do it on our own. It requires the infusion of supernatural grace. But what it requires on our part is our ability to say, Jesus, I am willing to lay down this resentment. And whenever I take it up again, Jesus, I say, I am willing to lay it down. So I ask you this afternoon, against whom in your life are you harboring resentment? Against who in your life are you harboring unforgiveness? A parent? A sibling? A spouse? A friend? Later in this liturgy, you will have the opportunity to come to the cross, to venerate it. And if you know in your heart that you are harboring resentment, as you venerate the cross, say, Jesus, today, I choose to lay down this resentment. I choose to say at the foot of the cross, I forgive my father, I forgive my mother, I forgive my spouse, my brother, my sister. I forgive my divorced spouse. I forgive. Forgiveness is a funny thing. It warms the heart and it cools the sting. Now I know that the way of forgiveness and learning to forgive is going to be a lifelong work. It will only be beyond the grave that we will be able to completely forgive. But that will be the amazing thing about heaven. We will behold the glorious and blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We will be in complete communion with God. And the remarkable thing is we will be in complete communion with one another. And so our God has given us this invitation that while we are still on earth, we are to work on being the kind of community we will be in heaven. For in conclusion, Good Friday reminds us that if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us a teacher. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent us Steve Jobs. If our greatest need was for money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been for pleasure, and this is what our modern world thinks, God would have sent us an entertainer. No. That wasn't our greatest need. Our greatest need was for forgiveness. And so God sent us the Savior.